This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Beyond and hello and welcome once again to IGN's weekly PlayStation show. I almost said annual, but we are at the start of a new year. I think we did like a fake New Year's episode through the magic of cinematic time travel. Who knows? Anyway, I'm Max and I'm hanging out with Brian and Jada, my good pals. Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Beyond, what's going on, man?
Beyond.
Well, we got some cool stuff to talk about. We actually thought we had nothing to talk about and then some silly things popped up, which we're going to get to. We want to do kind of a rundown of PlayStation's 2024 games that Sony themselves have officially revealed are like, these are on the way. And there's a few surprises in there. There's some stuff we know about, but it's already looking really good on that front. That said, the big thing going on right now in the world of tech is, of course, the CES Consumer Electronics Show, which usually isn't heavy on gaming stuff, but there's some weird stuff going on there. The Sony Honda Mobility president and COO, Izumi Kawanishi, came out during the press conference and drove the Afila electric vehicle out on stage using a DualSense controller, which was a tech demo thing to do. Like, that was, he prefaced it by being like, this isn't how you're supposed to drive the car. And then he pulled a DualSense controller out of his pocket, which, that's a big controller, so that man's got some large pants on. And he pulled it out and he said, this is just for a tech demonstration. And then very slowly drove out this cool car. We found out about this car last year. It is the sort of collaboration between Sony and Honda to make an electric vehicle. They're obviously taking some, you know, cues from Tesla, where you can play Cuphead in your dashboard or whatever. And they're doing stuff like that. They revealed some, a sort of partnership with Epic Games. You can have like a Fortnite theme for the inside of your car, Spider-Verse stuff. It's weird. What did you make of this, Brian?
Well, first of all, I think you just reminded me that one of the things I do miss about E3 and live press conferences, which obviously Sony left and then everything went pre-taped and Nintendo did directs, is dudes pulling big dumb things out of their pockets live on stage. That was a tradition for a long, Reggie pulling out just a huge ass 3DS. You know, somebody got a Wii U gamepad in their back pocket or a Vita or something like that. I miss that. Because they have to go out there, they have a mic pack in one pocket, and in the other one they have this just huge bulge, and you can't see it, and then all of a sudden they reach back. What is it? What's it going to be? Is it sunflower seeds? Is it a candy bar? Is it a soda? Nope. It's a DualSense controller. And what does it control? A car. Yeah, that's very dumb. I love it. It's a new year, so I think it's okay to, you know, drive an expensive vehicle full of people with a video game controller. Last year, historically, that didn't go well. You can ask James Cameron his thoughts on that. But we're going in a new direction now.
Oh, God, man. Jada, what about you? Would you drive a car with a controller? I feel like if anyone I would trust you to do that.
I feel like I would just want I would get a steering wheel attachment, probably. You know, just like how I like to play Gran Turismo.
Racing rig?
Yeah, like a racing rig.
a steering wheel to drive a car? Get out of here.
I know,
that's
right?
Crazy talk.
So wild. I will say that the Afila is a good looking car. Like, it actually, the design is pretty good.
No, it's very pretty, but every time you say it, I feel like driving in my car.
I feel like a new car. That sounds like something my uncle would say.
I feel like the future.
I feel like this sauce needs more salt.
Honda Afila. It's yeah, I don't know who named that. It honestly looks, it just looks like
Super Mario named that.
Yeah. It looks like Avena's cousin, you know, like the body wash company. Like, this is Avena, my cousin, Aphila. She's a car. I don't know. It's a cool car. It's really, it's awesome. I hate to
It
like,
is very pretty. It's a very pretty
car. We typically don't talk about cars here. I don't think any of us are particularly equipped to do that.
No.
If you want to find out more about electrical cars, Ryan McCaffrey has a podcast all about that. We want to make fun of this car because it's kind of funny. It has the kind of gimmicks that Sony is prone to that we're not used to seeing in cars. I actually love concept cars. I love that stuff that never comes out. The stuff they show at car shows, like Hyundai a couple years ago had a really, really cool like concept electric vehicle, which was, it just looked like a crappy Plymouth from the 80s, but with like that, it looked like a car from Cyberpunk, like straight up. Like it was stylized in all the right ways. It had obviously touch screens and LEDs all over it, but it had that boxy, like it looked like it would smell like cigarettes inside, you know, like it had that kind of grandpa car vibe to it. That car is never coming out. This car actually is coming out, which is kind of cool, but it is also a little bit more of a sort of ordinary vehicle as far as wacky high-tech vehicles go.
One of the things that really made me laugh about this is like they were listing the features on it, and it's like the dashboard will show the weather and the battery life, and it's like, oh, you mean like what every car has ever done ever? Like there's literally every car that anyone listening to the show, unless there's like a 108-year-old man that accidentally downloaded this episode, every car you've ever owned has had like a little thing for the weather and like how much gas is left. And every EV tells you the percentage of battery left, because otherwise your car would die in the middle of the road. So that's like, it feels like such classic, you know?
Yeah, no, it reminds me of when they're listing features for something that really has, not that it's short on features, but that it has a couple really big ones. And then they just need to fill out the rest of like the bullet points. You know, like when you read like the press release for a video game and it's like, you know, oh, a groundbreaking PvP combat survival. And it's like a thrilling story. And you're like,
yeah, engrossing narrative. Yeah. Okay.
Eye-popping graphics. You're like, what is a compared to what, you know?
Car features up to four wheels.
Yeah. but no, it's cool. There's some sort of vague collaboration with Epic Games involved where there's going to be something. Let me see if I can even parse this. It says they said the remote driving demo using the controller was for the purpose of the tech showcase only. However, we believe that software can define new function and value. We wanted to redefine the relationship between people and mobility. Anyway, check out this no scope 360 driving a car onto stage with my controller. Like, what? Weird flex. They said, let's see.
I like that they were like, you can do this, but don't do this. And then they drove the car with the controller.
They say
don't do it.
It's just like, I mean, it reminds me of like Elon Musk shooting a Cybertruck with a bow and arrow, where you're like, that's interesting, but also, what are you doing? Why? What is the use case for this? It's very like a very, you know, but again, it gets people talking about it. So maybe they saw that and they're like, let's do something kind of over the top, but also not that over the top because we're Sony. But they said there's a collaboration with Epic Games. This was seen in a simulator that will make use of virtual spaces to create new user experiences in mobility, which again is like a big old expensive sounding word salad. This tool simulates external environmental conditions such as information for other vehicles, pedestrians, terrain, and weather. By combining this technology with AR, users will enjoy an immersive experience that also enhances safety. So basically like your car will have like a car Pokedex in it that will just like tell you the other cars driving around you, which is cool, but
gotta collect them all, gotta drive it so all the other cars, Max, it's, collect yeah, all the I years mean, that'll be like the new quarters, like
this is the kind collecting. Of this is yeah this is the kind of thing where you really need to do like a show don't tell side of it to showcase it. But now the funny thing here is we, the general public, will not get to drive this car on the streets of the real world using a DualSense controller, but before it comes out, it is getting added to Gran Turismo 7, where you can drive it with a DualSense controller or with a racing wheel or with Donkey Kong controller if you're one of those people who's always modding things, a dance pad, I don't know, what keyboard, what do people do that?
I guess I never thought about this, but I don't play those games because I find them to be deeply boring. No offense to...
say it, man. Everyone knows.
No, I mean,
it.
Come on. Like, no offense to, you know, I drive my kid to school every day. I drive around all the time. It's driving. I enjoy driving. I don't really look for it in a video game. But like in like, would you put like an EV in those games? Do you have to worry about battery life? Like, do you have to put it in your little garage.
I don't think you have to worry about gas. Like, that's not, it's,
they don't have gas in those games?
I don't think so.
I mean, they've it's got games a seems like a thing. In those games, I'm... but they don't have regular gas. No, I don't think they need to do that. I mean, you could, I guess well, there it is. Now that's the real simulation there. The ultimate simulation of driving a Sony electric vehicle is driving a Sony electric vehicle using a DualSense controller. So your mileage, quite literally, may vary depending on how charged your DualSense is. That's kind of fun though. That's happening sometime later this year. So if you want to, if you want to get a feel for the Afeela, you can get a feel for it in Gran Turismo. Yeah, I'm hoping we get some more weird stuff out of CS. I love this kind of thing. We did get a much bigger announcement. Again, continuing the theme from last year, where the biggest stuff coming out of Sony is not so much first-party games, the thing we love to talk about. It's wacky hardware and other non-game-related media. In this case, we got the announcement of The Last of Us Season 2 casting Caitlin Dever as Abby, who was in Booksmart and No One Will Save You and Justified. There were some rumors flying around that she might be the case, and it sounds like they sealed the deal. It's officially happening. Presumably she'll be on board for, you know, season two and, you know, potential season three moving forward. You know, the big thing I keep seeing people saying is like, she's not big enough. She's too small. She's, you know, it's like the Topher Grace Venom argument from Spider-Man 3, where it's like, she's more muscular. Get her huge. And it's like, it's okay. So she's also like an actual young actress who is, you know, portraying her own age. Whereas like Laura Bailey was, you know, she's an adult playing someone much below her with, you know, with totally different body type and appearance. Right. It's not real. That's mm-hmm. the whole point of acting. But also I feel like if in relation to Bella Ramsey, there's like a sort of, you know, they're actually, I don't actually know how tall Caitlin is, but
7'2".
They'll figure it out. Yeah. Maybe they'll do some like, I don't know, some Michael Chiklis, Fantastic Four.
In high school, they called her Caitlin Basketball Dunk Dever because she was so tall and was just doing nonstop basketball dunks. But no, you're right, Max. Like this is not like she's not doing a, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger biopic where it makes you're like, oh no, like it's not the right size. I think that like what they've done with this show is establish the groundwork that was laid in the game and then build on it, deviate from it, and then where applicable, stay precise and adapt in a familiar way. That's why, like, I remember reading some quotes, and totally paraphrasing here and probably butchering, about how they wanted to experiment with different directions with season two, which is obviously, you know, largely based on the second game, which they said they would have to split into two seasons. And so, like, I think Abby being like absolutely ripped in the game makes completely perfect sense. But if they want to head in a different direction in the show, I'm cool with that. I'm very cool with that because, like, I don't want a one-to-one adaptation of the game. Like, this is a show that just won a bunch of awards the other night, and one of them went to Nick Offerman for his work in fleshing out a character that was not seen in that exact same way in the game whatsoever. So it's like they are literally being awarded for taking creative risks and moving in a different direction. If you like the game, play the game. I love the game. I think it's fantastic.
It's an adaptation. Yep. Like it's done well. A million years ago when The Walking Dead started, I was a big fan of the comic, and I bounced off it pretty quick for how it deviated from the comic. And I think I just wanted something a little more faithful at that point. And obviously it's a different budget. That was, you know, that wasn't quite the same, you know, prestige cable as HBO. It's also a much broader story to try to tell. In this case, like they have earned my trust. I'm dying to see what they do with season two, casting or otherwise. I think that, you know, at this point, anybody who's not on board with season two, like, that's fine. You know, like they demonstrated that they are fully up to the task. It wasn't like one of those, this is pretty close, I can't wait to see what they do with season two. It's like, no, season one stuck the landing. I'm fully on board with season two.
We also you know, I'm not going to get into the spoilers for the game if for some odd reason you haven't played it by now, but there's a very significant chance that the majorly impactful thing that happens in the game doesn't happen to that extent in the show, but still causes Ellie to go on a, you know, 1v1 rampage against Abby. Like there's a lot you can do leading up to the worst thing you can do that will still inspire you to bring the worst part of yourself out of you, drag it into the streets and fight. And Max, you name dropped No One Will Save You, right? I actually really dug that movie. There's a lot of Caitlin Dever hiding behind couches and 4 foot tall barriers.
Oh my goodness, Brian.
Yeah, and building things and fighting monsters that are not of this world. So like,
You're saying she has practice doing it.
Yeah, she has practice. Like I think the casting's there is great. She's also like a fantastic actress.
I mean, it makes sense if they're going. They casted Bella Ramsey, who's a smaller Ellie, then casting a smaller Abby makes sense. I also don't. Everything we've seen in the show, I don't foresee any actor in the show just like putting a clicker or anything underneath in a headlock and snapping their neck in the show form. And like, that was the big thing with Abby, is that she used her fists instead of I don't want to say switchblades, but that's not right.
Bow and arrow.
Well, the shivs. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Instead of using shivs, because you know, like Ellie, you had to use shivs to stealth kill. But with Abby, you just like would grab somebody and just choke them out in your biceps.
Maybe we'll get some crafting sequences in season two. That's the thing I want to see more of. We're gonna get to more Last of Us talk in just a second, but we do have another little update out of CES from Sony that is very cool. They gave us our first look at the Gravity Rush movie, which is one of the many, you know, PlayStation Studios productions, adaptations in the works. This is from Scott Free Productions. This is from Ridley Scott's production company. I forget who's attached to direct. It's coming along because they showed off some behind the scenes clips, which are really, really cool.
Was not expecting this at all.
Yeah.
It's also deeply frustrating because I feel like they're just much like Gravity Rush kind of just got shuffled under the rug. That was the Vita before getting, you know, a proper release. Like, this is a really cool game that doesn't have that kind of name brand recognition. Like, not enough people know what it is. I think they could maybe put out a poster, maybe put out a trailer. If you got stuff in the works like this, it's that like baffling thing that like, I mean, DC would do this a lot where it was like, here's a leaked set photo. And it's like, what if you just did like a big reveal, you know?
Yeah.
This smacks you. Yeah. No, go for it, Jada.
My guess is I don't think it's as far as long as they were hoping it to be. I feel like they're going kind of different. You know, the last animated Sony movie that was based on a project was Ratchet and Clank, which did okay, but didn't do like gangbusters as I'm sure that they wanted it to do. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're really kind of like taking their time. And I think this glimpse is just kind of we're still working on it. Like, it's happening. I think that's
we get game reveals so far in advance, and Hollywood works differently where, you know, stuff will get tipped off to like the Hollywood Reporter and they're like, here's who's directing this, here's who's attached, here's who's in it, here's what it's about. Like, that information is out there way sooner. Obviously games operate differently, and something will get revealed after it's already been in the works for ages and it's, you know, it's gonna happen. I don't know, just maybe at the end of a, you know, PlayStation State of Play or whatever, pop up like a Gravity Rush movie in the works, here's when we're hoping on releasing it, like here's a poster, here's, you can, I don't know. I'll let them figure it out. I'm glad this is happening. That looks cool. We also got really quick, kind of almost non-updates about the Amazon Prime, was it Prime Video's God of War and Netflix's Horizon Dawn shows. Really just kind of playing the field there.
They said for God of War, they're like, we're writing it.
Yeah, they said writing is currently underway on both projects, which is what I thought was the case prior to the writer's strike. So it's nice to know that they didn't just abandon these projects entirely.
They turned the scripts.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm stoked to see that. And then they also, Sony showed a Patapon something or other.
Yeah, which, it's like a anime looking kind of thing, which I'm kind of into.
That could be cool. I feel like some little Patapon shorts, it could be really fun.
Yeah.
What messed me up was Sony giving us an update on the Zelda movie because they're distributing that.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to get used to that.
I was actually saying that we should kind of stake our claim and like NVC can stuff it because Sony is publishing that movie. That's a Sony movie, my friends. This is a Sony show. I'm sorry, NVC. you can take a back seat. You can, we'll get some Zelda clicks out of these kids. Come on over here and talk about the Zelda movie.
I'm going to be on that show this week, so I will deliver that message to
tell
that
them
person.
Yeah,
please.
Like, sorry, anyway. we're claiming this. This is ours in the draft. It's ours. It's over. Yep, sorry, guys.
That's it. All right. So,
PlayStation movie.
Speaking of dumb things people say on the internet, as we're prone to do here, there was a very funny tweet going around, or X, whatever X Cloud. I don't know what they call the thing now. It's a tweet.
We're not doing that.
Yeah, we're not doing that. So this tweet was going around the other day from this guy named the Hero of Sinon, this person named Hero of Sinon, which said, "Who would win in a fight?" And it has a picture of Joel from The Last of Us. Was it Joel Miller? This is about Miller. Yep. Yeah, and Leon S. Kennedy from Resident Evil 4 specifically.
Who I like that you don't follow me, Max. Whoever opened this account doesn't. Busted.
Who'd win in a fight?
Who's winning in this fight? I mean, Joel's winning, guys. Look at that. He survived an apocalypse.
Okay, hold on. So, like, no, I'm not throwing any shade at this Hero of Sinon guy. No, not at this dude specifically, or this person. I have no problem with this person whatsoever. This is a hilariously mismatched matchup. There is no universe where Joel lasts half a second against Leon S. Kennedy. Like, it is preposterous to even suggest that there is any scenario in which Joel can defeat Leon.
I have one scenario. Joel in complete stealth, crawling through the grass, stealth kill on Leon. That'd be the only way. Because you get snuck up a lot on in Resident Evil, and you're kind of just caught off guard and put into really terrible situations as Leon. So if Joel went for the jugular on a stealth kill, that would be the only situation I could see him winning. But otherwise,
also, I mean, the whole thing with Joel is he's morally gray. So maybe he acts like he's friends with Leon, or Leon's taking one of his little Skype calls with the
president,
little rich guy, and he's like, "Oh, I have to talk to the president for the second," and Joel just like whacks him on the head with a brick. Maybe that's how that works, but. That said, it is really funny because we were talking about this and like Brian, this is like one of those like, is a hot dog a sandwich kind of things, or is like a taco a hot dog or what? Like, it's just like it's a conversation starter that it seems so simple, but then you get into it, you start pulling it apart, and somebody gets really riled up about it. And in this case, Brian. You were like, "Tee me up. I'll go for 25 minutes about this. I don't give a shit."
No, because it's okay. First of all, put it this way. Like, imagine if the president's kid got kidnapped. I know some of you are probably rooting for that to happen. Or any of the president's kids get kidnapped, right? Who are they going to call? Who do they call in Resident Evil 4? They call a trained...
Ghostbusters.
No, that... Ghostbusters would be extremely overwhelmed by the antics of Resident Evil 4. They would try their little shitty laser guns on DeLago or whatever, and it wouldn't work, you know? Damn it, Jada. Okay, the president is not going to call some grieving construction worker from nowhere to be like, "Hey, crawl out of your alcoholic stupor with your pretend kid and come to Spain and kill a bunch of dudes in this village and a guy with a chainsaw and like an octopus man and like a million other things." He's not gonna do that. He's gonna call Leon S. Kennedy. Leon S. Kennedy is a trained professional. This dude is insane. You have to understand that the events of Resident Evil 4 take place in like 2 days, right? There's like a night cycle and a half in that game. Like, he kills hundreds, if not thousands of people. If you're playing as Jada, he S ranks hundreds, if not thousands of people with perfect headshots. He does it all. He's got like a Las Plagas removal gun that can take out five people at the same time. He's got fucking rocket launchers. he's got grenades. He gets bitten in the face. He's got a virus the entire time. Also, he does it the entire time while saying the kind of jokes that Ellie says. Like, he's literally Ellie's joke book in Joel's body with an attaché case full of insane weapons. He's got a TMP with like infinite ammo. You know, he kills he kills everybody. He takes everybody out. There's like, it's not even close. Even when they take away all his stuff and he just has a knife, you could do an entire knife run of this game.
How many times does Joel suplex anybody in The Last of Us?
Zero. Zero.
Exactly. Good point. Zero. Does he do any like jump kicks or anything like that? Like,
no. I mean, the toughest enemies in that game are defeated by Ellie. Like, Joel has nothing. There's absolutely nothing Joel can do against Leon S. Kennedy. Period.
I think we may have a little surprise. Our producer Tom whipped something up to sort of put an end to this debate, I think. I don't really know what this is. Tom, roll the thing, I guess.
Wait a minute, what's this? Leg drop kick, oh, come on.
Okay, so this seems like no holds barred here. I'm really clearly good at saying those words.
Don't say that.
All right.
What are we looking at, Max?
I don't know. Our producer Tom just prepared this. This is a clearly a very high-tech simulation using the most cutting edge of fighting simulation.
This is obviously some creative characters from WWE 2K23. From the Gamer 801 on YouTube. He made Joel Miller and Leon S. Kennedy fight in a very traditional, oh my God. Somebody got thrown through a spotlight. A very traditional kind of like fisticuffs brawl, no weapons involved. I still think that in a scenario like this, Leon wins because Leon can do backflips and all sorts of, he's way more acrobatic. Like, think about it this way. There's a scene in Resident Evil 4 where the chainsaw ladies come through the door, and instead of him just running away, he backflips out just for style points, you know? He does. And like, speaking of style points, this is why this is immensely important. I tweeted about this. I said Leon would take out every single thing in The Last of Us and every single person who has ever complained about The Last of Us. He'd do it in a single afternoon while infected with some weird virus, making the corniest dad jokes you've ever heard in your life. No contest. And Ben Starr, who plays Clive in Final Fantasy 16, says, and then he'd do it all over again with some cat ears and a rocket launcher. That's the secret right there. Like, he's not afraid to, you know, it didn't take him until the end of that game to realize that this is a silly scenario. Leon knew that 4 seconds in, okay? And you can unlock little Oakleys and funny clothes and hats and
I think
and wigs.
there's some now, if you're grading them on categories, just I guess it's not really a fight, but if you were to look at sort of crafting abilities, even mm-hmm. then Leon wins because he makes little potions. He does yep. antiques restoration, like he puts gems in like yep. crowns and things. Joel is like, I glued a
okay.
What are we doing at the, what's going on here at the fight?
So
he's
like,
he's got yeah.
Hey, Joel's just been putting Leon, giving him the bricks, just destroying him this whole fight. But I will say the one thing that Joel has on Leon is improvisation. Leon is not great about using things in the environment. Joel,
oh, really? Really?
Tiaras. This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible.
When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I didn't get a trophy for throwing an egg at somebody, Jada.
Yeah, because that's going to kill. That's going to kill Joel in this fight as an egg.
It works. It works egg. In the game. You can throw it at...
It works on a parasite-ridden little chump. It doesn't work on a
Joel
man
fell...
with dead daughter issues.
Joel fell off a horse and he was out of commission for a week? Leon falls in a hole and who does he fight down there? Verduga, dude that like carries a brooch. Like, come on. He lands in like a spike pit and he's okay. Like I saw somebody on Twitter being like, oh, well, Leon's slow and Joel would win against the fast clickers.
What game did you play?
Leon outruns a boulder 20 minutes into that game, pushed down a mountain. Come on, like, utterly ridiculous.
Joel has a truck. I guess you could get in the truck and drive away.
Leon gets in a truck too. Leon
has a jet ski, which is even faster than a truck.
Leon has a jet ski, and Ashley drives a truck or a bulldozer through that game while he hangs out in the back and kills 1,000 people.
I'm just saying the maniac that is Leon that feels he needs to kill everybody. Mm-hmm. Joel would have just gone into the village, found the president's daughter, and just escaped stealth-wise, just unseen. Just would have escaped. Wouldn't have to kill nobody. Yes, he would have.
I mean, he doesn't have like the best track record for going in and rescuing a daughter figure without killing everybody.
I know.
I mean, I think that's the one area where like Joel is really like he's not a hero. He's an anti-hero. He's the morally gray thing. He fights dirty. He's cheap. But also, I think on literally every front, when you talk about Joel has a truck. Leon has a jet ski and then like a bulldozer. It's like Joel can whip up Molotovs and little trip mines and stuff. Like Leon restores antiques when he's not killing people. He does homeopathic medicine on the go. Like, I feel like on every level, just in terms of like, oh, I don't know, keeping a daughter figure alive, Joel's not really great in that front. Or he's kind of his whole catalyst for being a survival horror hero is losing his kid, which is, again, not really his fault, but also like, I don't know, Leon would have suplexed those dudes. That's just how it is.
Easily. Yeah. I think one of my favorite things about this conversation is that I had a bunch of people in my Twitter mentions talking about different scenarios in which Leon would make jokes in The Last of Us. And one of them is K-Babs says, if Leon encountered the Rat King, he would say, talk about a mousetrap. Like, I just love the idea of him being in the hyper serious scenarios and like meeting Abby and being like, looks like this one's armed, or like, bill me later, Bill. there's a part in Remake where he goes nighty night nights after he kills a bunch of knights. Like, he's just such a fucking cornball. I love him so much. He's such an idiot himbo. Like, he's a Ken doll with an arsenal. Like, he's perfect. Like, he is just. That's what makes him so great. He's goofy. He's highly effective and skilled and trained. He's an idiot, but he's a genius. He's smart and funny, but dumb as rocks. I love him so much. Joel doesn't stand a chance ever. Again, not a chance. I'm sorry, Joel. I love your games, love your work, but also like, who would win in a fight? Here we go. Spoilers. Character who got killed by a golf club, or character who lived through his game and several more. Like, come on.
Well, I mean, I thought it was a fun conversation, always.
It is a fun conversation, but let's be serious here. Let's be serious people.
I'm glad I could play devil's advocate for you today, Brian.
I mean, you brought your best, but like, it every single chance you had, I'm going to tell you why Leon's better. I mean, your best one is that he can sneak up on people with a knife, but Leon can do that in Resident Evil 4 Remake. Like, that's his whole thing. He learned that skill too. That's like a new feature they added in this game.
He learned it from Joel.
Get out of here with that. Come on.
Okay. All right. Well,
Joel wouldn't even go. He wouldn't even get on the airplane to go to Europe. He'd be like, well, everything we have here is perfect in America. I'm not going to another country. He's not going to do that. I think if you have to put kid salsa on the table for him at the Mexican restaurant, because if you put the regular stuff, he's going to be like, it's too spicy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What did Leon eat? Is he going to go anything. Get tapas? I don't, like, what's his deal?
He eats raw eggs in the middle of a farm full of dead animals. He doesn't give a shit.
And snakes, dead snakes that he's shot with a bullet. Like,
I guess that's true. Yeah.
He ate a raw sea bass. I made that dude eat a raw sea bass. Why? Or it wasn't even a sea bass. It's not even salt water. It's just, you know, it's just a lake trout.
Leon really is trout. Just, it's kind of amazing how many bases Leon covers there. Is it implied that he cooks the egg? Maybe.
No.
I don't know.
No,
he just eats the raw egg.
Just cracks it open and raw egg. You know.
Can you imagine like the like Ashley Rocky. Comes out of the garbage can and he's just standing there and he's just like eating a trout, like in the middle of a village full of dead bodies and disease. He does it the whole time he does it. He's infected too. Like that's the thing that's the most important to point out.
That's what fights off all the raw egg. It's the infection. Yeah. Or infection.
What are the symptoms? I forget. Does he get like dizzy spells or like flashbacks?
Yeah,
or
there's a lot of that.
I think it's like a
His eyes get silly.
Yeah, they get. You know? Yeah. But he doesn't. Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't. Does he have diarrhea? Like
he outruns a mech of a Napoleon child.
He does. Like, he outruns a bunch of things. He fights a mech. Yeah, that's.
Come on. He's the last third of that game is straight up Call of Duty. Like Joel couldn't ever.
I asked my 2-year-old daughter who would be better at basketball, a werewolf or a Dracula, and she said a Dracula because he has wings and can turn into a bat. And I was like, well, that's a really obvious answer. But I was thinking, like, what about Teen Wolf? And it's like, that's, yeah, again, just like straight line logic there. Just who would win in a fight? The one who is dead or the one who is not?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, Resident Evil 4 Remake is available now on all of your favorite consoles.
Hell yeah.
I think it's like on sale right now too.
Yeah, so go buy it.
Time, pick it up.
Go buy it and show the world how pathetic Joel is compared to
so
Leon.
So speaking of big, huge, beautiful remakes like we've gotten with Resident Evil 4 and The Last of Us Part 2 and whatnot, Sony put up a video showcasing a bunch of the 2024 games that are coming out. And there's a few things in here that I did not think were coming out in 2024. Specifically, they show Silent Hill 2 and Metal Gear Solid Triangle Snake Eater or Delta, whatever they want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought those were way off. I didn't think they had a release window, but this video is formally titled like the 2024 PlayStation, what's coming to PlayStation 2024 lineup, something like that. It's very much like not just coming to PlayStation soon, like 2024 is right in there. And there's a bunch of stuff shown off that we fully know is coming out this year. If, you know, this is right around the corner. There's Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which is out on January 18th. The Last of Us Remastered is out on the 19th of January. Last of Us, like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, January 26th. Tekken 8, same day. Granblue Fantasy Relink is out February 1st. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League is out February 2nd. Helldivers is out on the 8th. Pacific Drive is on the 22nd. FF7 Rebirth is on February 29th. Dragon's Dogma 2 and Rise of the Ronin are both out on March 22nd. Final Fantasy 15, Dawn Trail is out 14. For summer. These are all things we know are on the way. And again, that is a killer lineup right out the gate. Mm-hmm. Like to be finding out that this is what's coming out in the top half of, you know, just the first few months. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And then on top of that, they also show off Concord, which is that PvP FPS from Firewalk Studios, which is, they have a really slick trailer that shows basically nothing about the game aside from like cool fonts and good music choice. There's Stellar Blade, which is like a hack and slash game from the Blade and Soul illustrator from a Korean studio. There's Forever Skies, which is also sort of a known quantity because it's already on early access. Plucky Squire, we've seen a bunch of that. Foam Stars, we've played that. There's the casting of Frank Stone, which is the Dead by Daylight sort of super massive games cinematic adventure, expanding that whole universe. And then the big two are Metal Gear Solid Triangle Snake Eater and Silent Hill 2, which Silent Hill 2 wouldn't surprise me that much because we've been hearing about that for so long. But the Snake Eater remake, I thought that was way, way off.
Yeah, same. I mean, I have a tendency. I mean, I think everyone listening to the show or watching the show has the same thing. But like when you see a cinematic teaser trailer that's just like a couple seconds long, at this point now, your brain equates that with that is several years away. Thank you for the tone piece. See you in, you know, 2025 or 2026. I think what's interesting is that like to be totally blunt, like a big part of this, of not just our jobs, but just being fans of video games, is it sort of invariably at the end of the year, we look forward to the next year and we go, next year is going to be the biggest year ever. And like Xbox has a tendency of doing this a lot, and people give them crap for kind of not delivering on those promises. But like, just as a group of people who love video games, going into 2023, we were like, this is undoubtedly one of the biggest games years ever. I'm sure a bunch of this stuff's going to get delayed. And some of it did, but most of it stuck the landing. And it turned into just this tremendous year for games, where it's like, hey, what's your game of the year? No wrong answers. Like, there's any of these 10 games would totally work without major debate from anybody. Whereas in other years, it was like very clear cut answer here, maybe a couple of runner ups. 2024 sort of felt different going in. Like it was like, oh man, this, you know, I saw a lot of chatter that was like, oh, this kind of just feels like a skip year. Like it's not really like a big, but then looking at some of this stuff, I'm like, well, that doesn't mean that it's going to be weak. Doesn't mean it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be as big, anywhere near as big as last year, or anywhere near as big as next year. But there's enough in this year that like gets me excited. And that's just from the stuff we know.
I was totally expecting the Game Awards to be packed with trailers for 2024 games. And then it had a lot of 2025 ones. And I was kind of surprised by that. The fact that, you know, GTA came out and was like, hey, we'll see you in at least 13 months, you know, like it was just, that is further off than I was expecting. Noticeably absent from this trailer is Wolverine. That's, you know, that's in the works. That's not coming out for a cool minute, I guess. I'm excited by this. It's cool to see that like Silent Hill 2 and Metal Gear Solid are in there. Like they wouldn't put them in there unless that was that. I mean, it's
the devs have basically said that like, hey, these are coming this year.
There's like, there's also like a glimpse of gameplay from Metal Gear that I don't think I've seen before. I haven't been keeping like super tight track, but they had the big CG reveal trailer, which like you said, Brian, kind of just doesn't really give the biggest amount of confidence for like, this is ready to go soon. And have we seen from Silent Hill 2? I can't even remember.
I think it's literally just what we saw here.
I feel like they have just like flooded the channel with noise regarding that IP over the last few months, and not in a good way. And I mean, I'm gonna play it because I'm a huge fan of survival horror, and the original is awesome. But like, it's taking that IP and splitting it in like seven different directions, and one of them was that like weird like AI generated narrative thing that you could vote on that they had to start, you know, banning people in the chat for ruining or whatever. Like it just, yeah, that was just like a major misstep. So I'm hoping that they can refocus and do something better with that. And yeah, Last of Us Part 2 Remastered is out incredibly soon. Naughty Dog's been teasing clips of that, which is really interesting. Like I like the entire concept of like showing the kind of DVD extras, developer commentary, you know, director's cut, behind the scenes, deleted scenes, stuff like that's an awesome approach to video games. Video games are historically kind of like top secret puppet shows where they don't let you see anything happening in the theatrics in the back. They don't tell you about what was cut. They don't tell you about what didn't make it in there, or like what they tried to do or what changed. It's always just like a big secret. So like having this game that's been out for a long time, that's, you know, really awesome, and getting more of it for $10 extra is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to a lot of these things. Prince of Persia blew me away when I played it at PAX last year, PAX West. So I'm really excited for that to drop in 9 days. So that's looking really good for me. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is my number one for 2024. So, and I've only got like what, a month and a half for that. I'm like,
that one's giving me some anxiety because like, I really want to play, Yakuza, and they're like, it's the biggest one yet. It's at least 100 hours if you do everything. And I was like, I'm going to find 100 hours in the month between that and FF7, which is another huge, massive game. Like, and then there's Dragon's Dogma. Like we are getting, you know, it obviously depends on your personal taste and like what gets your attention, but this is a pretty steady clip of game releases during what is historically a quiet part of the year. There's usually not a ton of big stuff, but this is a cool mix of you know, big and small, kind of really just covering all the different bases.
We've seen devs kind of shift that slower period from the January, February to more like April, May, like is kind of started to shift over the least recent years, where January and February have been big months. Like, you know, we got Elden Ring at the beginning of 2022, like, and that was just dominated. And then what, last year we had Horizon Forbidden West in February. Not last year, it was 2022 as well. But yeah, like we've seen that.
That's the Horizon curse though. It always comes out the week of the other big fantasy open world game that
dropping the week before
hooked on. Yeah.
Horizon 3 dropping a week before GTA 6.
Well, oh, man, let me be a bit of a wet blanket real quick, just so like
it's
No, like this is still pretty weak on the first party exclusive front.
Completely. This is
like let's call it like we see it. Like, I mean, like Spider-Man 2 was great. We got some PSVR stuff, and you know, there's Gran Turismo last year, but like other than that, like we still don't know a lot of what their studios are working on. Mm-hmm. We still, I mean, based on leaks, like Wolverine's not this year.
Yep.
It's just not happening. Death Stranding 2 is not this year. Like it's not, there's a bunch of stuff. We just got like a pretty meaty God of War DLC. So I feel like that studio is going to lay low for a little while. Still no official announcement on like Ghost of Tsushima 2. We don't know, like, there was obviously more stuff in the Insomniac leaks, like indicating more games. Many of those, according to that information, years and years away. There's like they own a bunch of studios, and I want a little more clarity on when we can play those games and what they're working on. Obviously, game development takes a long time. These things are like massive undertakings at this point, right? It takes like 5, 6, 7 years to make like a big AAA first party game these days. So like I'm not being greedy or being like hurry up, but this, in terms of like if you bought a PS5 for just or for mostly exclusives and stuff like that, like it's slowly gotten a little better kind of like a year at a time, but we haven't really had like a year that's like packed with heavy hitters. And I hope hopefully
what's
that changes.
I know the answer to this question, like obviously like first party like PlayStation exclusives made in-house have like a certain level of polish to them that is makes sense. They obviously don't want to reflect poorly on their own stuff, but there's also a bunch of, you know, FF7 Rebirth is console exclusive for the immediate future. Pacific Drive, I think so, right? Yep. Maybe
PC and PlayStation for that one.
Helldivers is PC and PlayStation. Rise of the Ronin is PC and PlayStation. Stellar Blade.
Yep.
Foam Stars, I think.
I believe like, so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's the problem? Like, I don't know. I guess I understand that people want to have their sort of their, you know, their tribalism. They want to pick their team and be like, I bought this box and this is the box that I love. But at the same time, I don't care. Like if they're multi-platform, I'm just happy we're getting a steady stream of games. Like that's I'm fine with
totally. And like, you know, to sort of counter myself here, like when I turn on Netflix, I'm not like, how many of these are Netflix originals? Like, I don't give a shit, right? Yeah. Like, as long as like there's good movies in front of me to watch, then I'm happy. And this is the same thing with like when I open up Game Pass, I'm like, oh, cool, there's a game. I'll download it. I'll play it. Oh, do I like it? I'll keep playing it. Do I not like it? I'll delete it. Cool. Move on with my life. But I think with PlayStation, like so much of their identity is built around their in-house studios. And selfishly, I want more of that, and I want to see more of them. I mostly just want Ghost of Tsushima 2. That's all
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing is like since 2016, 2017, we've been, with the exclusion of last year, we've been spoiled. We got a good like 5, 6, 7 year run of big games and multiple big games every year dropping for like as exclusives for PlayStation consoles. And so like we're just kind of in that lull period where devs are in the middle of R&D and getting the next big ideas prepped. So like, I think 2024 may be a slower year for PlayStation, but I think 2025 to like 2028 to 2029 are going to be just jam packed with big PlayStation stuff. It's just kind of a cycle how game devs go. And you look at Microsoft, where Xbox has been in this kind of a slower period for the last couple of years, and they're starting to pick things up. And we're going to start seeing more bigger things from Xbox over the next couple of years as well. So I think it's just like that normal cycle for, you know, exclusives. We're going to have those kind of droughts.
I mean, we're seeing a funny thing happen here where there was just rumors going around that, or, you know, rumblings that Hi-Fi Rush, which was formerly Xbox exclusive, is going to be coming to Switch, maybe, or it's, you know, Microsoft's
other consoles, but
And Microsoft's talked about getting its games on other places. And Sony has this long history of doing things, making, you know, proprietary first party stuff, but we've seen them branch out into putting games on PC. It's also really funny to me that Sony, which owns a media production company, there's Sony Pictures and all that. We also have we have The Last of Us on HBO. We have Horizon on Netflix. We have
God of War on Prime.
We have
Legend of Zelda in theaters.
Yeah, I mean, Sony's producing the Legend of Zelda movie. I don't think we had a chance to talk about that on here, but it's really interesting to see. Yeah, like that's a very kind of sowing your wild oats. That's really it's kind of spreading yourself out there to just kind of, I don't know, I guess, diversify
Did you mention Twisted Metal on Peacock?
Twisted Metal on Peacock. Yeah, exactly.
They're all over the place. There's that Ghost of Tsushima movie rumor,
which I want to say is Lionsgate. I think I just see like Chad Stahelski's doing it. Yep. I don't know who's attached, but it's, I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of wild. Like we're so accustomed to looking at Sony as like this, you know, it's all first party stuff. It's all about exclusivity, but clearly that's not really what's happening right now. All the way, you know, and we're
no, you're of, right. And that's a big part of modern fandom now is just sort of not getting everything you love in one specific spot. Right. Like last year, if you were a Nintendo fan, you got a Mario movie and a theme park to go to and maybe a bunch of action figures and stuff like that. You also got a big new Zelda game and a new Mario game. So, but like Jada, you're right. Like they, you know, this is their super move. Like they charge it up, they let it out, and then it recharges. And like, you're never going to get, I don't think you'll ever get another year like 2020 where we got Ghost of Tsushima, The Last of Us, and the PS5, which launched with, you know, like stuff like Demon's Souls and a new Astro game. And like that was really them. Yeah, yeah, that bug snacks. That was really them firing on all cylinders, right? And like they had, you know, there was a lot going on, and there was also a pandemic, so it felt like a miracle that any of that stuff was even coming to fruition. Yep. The fact that, like, you know, consoles even got manufactured and shipped that year, was a miracle. And so, like, again, this is just me being selfish, and I want a little more. Like, I feel like last year the PS5 did really well. It did incredibly financially. It sold a million, billions of units or whatever. But like, if you look at the first party lineup in just through that lens, it was a little underwhelming. That's fine. You know, you never know. Like this year could be a bigger year for that. Next year could be a bigger year for that. But like, if you look at your box just for exclusives, then yeah, you'll be let down. But if you play everything everywhere, wherever you want, then you'll be fine.
So we got a couple minutes left. I do want to go through my trophy sprint before we get going because it's first real episode. I finished with 17 platinum trophies over the course of 2 weeks. It was a harrowing run. I had to abandon a few games mid-run because they just were not working out. But I finished platinum trophies on Infernax, Forspoken, Wild Hearts, Wolong Fallen Dynasty, Remnant 2, Venba, Pizza Possum, Trifox,
oh, hell yeah.
The Talos Principle, Part 1, What Remains of Edith Finch, Immortals of Avium, Toem, Thirsty Suitors, Oceanhorn, Siphon Filter 3, and what? I'm counting Power Wash Simulator, even though the career finishing gold trophy is currently broken, so I couldn't get the platinum, but hopefully when the patch goes, the platinum will retroactively give it to me because I finished that one. And then also a bonus one, I started playing League again over the end of last year and I hit platinum rank in solo queue ranked. So shout out to my League players out there. Be good to one another. Season 2024 is on the way.
Jada, you're incredible. And I was curious, like, how do you do this? We got lunch the other day and I was like, we're talking about like how we spend our, you know, holiday break or whatever, and I think you were like, I got like 10 hours of sleep, and I was like, oh, you mean collectively? And you were like, yeah. Like, most people are like, I got 10 hours of sleep last night, I'm refreshed, I'm enjoying my time off, I'm sleeping in, and you're like, nope.
I just picture you like like when they show like a boxer in between rounds and people are just coming in and just giving them water and stuff like that. Like you just like you get a platinum and all of a sudden like a sandwich and a drink pops in and you just eat and drink. You're like, all right, I'm back out there.
Spit
like,
blood in a bucket.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, let's do this. Pete's possum next.
Flies out. Like I don't. Yeah, that's incredible.
I honestly probably could have got more done, but I did take more breaks this year than I usually
do. You slept for 10 hours, Jada.
I took breaks and did other things. I went on some walks. I did some workouts.
Nerve.
I cooked some dinners. You know,
17 platinums is honestly stuff. Pathetic, and you should be embarrassed.
It is like, pretty terrible. It's pretty terrible. I did 18 last year, so one short of last year. So
you're slipping. That's what's happening. Yeah. I mean, this is the beginning of the end for you, Jada. I can't believe it.
Hey, we're out of time here, but thank you both for hanging out and talking about video games and Leon, I guess. I like talking about Leon.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we'll see you next week, everybody listening at home. That's the end of the show. I never know how to do this. It's just, I honestly, we just hit record. We talk as friends and hang out, and that's the best part of this. So, Beyond.
Beyond.
Where'd everybody go? Bingo?
Oh, God.
Nighty night, nights. Thanks, everyone.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side panel?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.